Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conlin.
What a time to live. What a time to live. Unexpected violence creeping into our seemingly safe environments. Dictatorial speaking that brings fear. Natural disasters wiping out entire communities and sexual predators disrupting trust. This was Anno Domini 60, A.D. 60, when Paul wrote the letter to the church in Colossae. This is what was going on in the world at that time. And so Paul wrote this letter, a love letter. Some call it the pastorals, but really it's a love letter about Jesus. Specifically speaking about Jesus to the people there in Colossae. Most intriguing, in the midst of all that they were dealing with dictators and violence and challenge at that time, Paul was empowered to write this letter in a year, just 1 or 2 years before, the entire community of Colossae was destroyed by an earthquake. He wrote a message of hope to the people in this church right before their church and the entire community was destroyed by an earthquake. In fact, after AD 62, there's no mention of Colossae anymore. There were two larger cities that were close by that were rebuilt. Colossae was not. Recently, the mound was found, and there has not been much excavation there. But as they continue to research and study, I'm sure we'll find out more things about this letter that Paul wrote. Specifically writing to them about Jesus. Now I'm going to give you an assignment at the very beginning of this sermon. So remember, okay? Go home. Go home and read this entire letter. It's beautiful just to sit down and read the entire letter. I just want to give you a few snippets. Paul, the apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God the Father, he writes. And later he goes on, in our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. And later on he writes, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For in him, Jesus, all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Jesus. And later, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him. And later, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have come to the fullness of him who is the head of every ruler and authority. And then, So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. And now we turn to chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, and continue to hear these words. A beautiful letter of love, written by Paul to the church at Colossae, and written by Paul to each one of us here this day. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you may also forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. And this is God's word to each one of us here this day. This passage began in chapter 3 with a beautiful bridge to Becca's message last week. It's God's grace flowing into us and flowing out to others. Those beautiful virtues that this message begins with. I want to remind you about this series. We'll be ending this series next week, but as we have been looking at soul keeping, I want to remind you of this whole series that we've looked at. Your soul. What is your soul? Can you all say what your soul is? It's that God-breathed element of life. Theopneustos. God breathed into each one of us. It's the part of us that holds together our body, our mind, and our will. That is your soul. And I hope that each one of you understands the challenge that we have been given, each one of us, to be keepers of the soul. It's not Becca's job. It's not your mom's job. It's not your friend's job. It's our jobs to take care of this gift, this God-breathed gift that we have been given. And so we recognize that there is struggle in the soul. And that struggle of the soul was used in the image of the parable of the sower, the kind of soil that we are planted in. And in that struggle, that encouragement to make sure that you're planted in that soil where you can grow richly. And then a peek at what the soul means, and even a part of what the choir did with this beautiful organ that we have this day, that anthem that really reminded us of what the soul needs, that joy and that presence. As Psalm 84, the sons of Korah wrote about how beautiful, how wonderful it is to spend time in the presence in the courts of the Lord. Our soul needs to be connected to God. Not only move away from the struggle of the different things, but to be connected to God. We need to soar in that way. And last week we looked at practice. We began some practical things and we looked at the practice of grace. And the first part of that practice is recognizing that you're accepted, that you are loved. Loved by Jesus. And as you recognize that, you're sustained by that grace. And you understand that you were designed to be powered, to be run on that grace that God gives us. And as we're powered on that grace, we're brought to a place where we understand our significance. That God wants to use us for something else. And that's that last part, that achievement of grace flowing into us in those first three, so that grace can flow out, that achievement, so that others may know the truth, the love, and the power of God's grace. So today we look at the practice of gratitude. We look at the practice of gratitude in a world that is not so different from AD 60, is it? Really? Not so different. But Paul still, as he wrote to them, even with the challenges that they're facing, he writes to us those same kind of challenges, how to live that out through the practice of gratitude. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Giving thanks, sharing gratitude to God the Father through Him. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, gratitude. That same thing, that practice of gratitude. Choose to recognize God in the midst of each situation. Choose to practice the attitude of Jesus that He displayed as He was walking amongst the people. You know, I can preach all I want. You can wag your fingers all you want about what's right, what's wrong about the Christian faith. Do you know what people are attracted to? Jesus. Jesus. Not only what Jesus did, not only what Jesus continues to do, but just attracted to Jesus and who He is. So it's not our job to convert. God does a great job of that if we just lean into the truth of who Jesus is and practice our gratitude for Jesus and the gift that Jesus is in our lives. We need to be grateful, knowing who we are. I get some eye rolls sometimes when I ask people who they are. Who are you? What do you say when I say, "Who are you?" Child of God, children of God. Whatever. It's not whatever. It's powerful. Shirley Kramer had a fall yesterday. Ended up in the hospital. So after the organ concert, I went to Paoli to check on her. And first of all, I was surprised that she recognized me immediately. Second of all, I celebrated when I looked at her and I said, "Do you know who you are?" And she said to me, "I'm a child of God." How beautiful that is to know that. And as we know that we are children of God, what a great gift to celebrate that and show our gratitude. Show our gratitude to God and share that gratitude with each other. When I was on my little walk this summer, it was only 500 miles, no big deal. When I was on the Camino this summer, and some of you read through what I wrote there, and that one day that I just said, you know, this is just incredible. As I was walking along and just celebrating being in love with Jesus. And it wasn't about falling in love with Jesus all over again, but it was remembering that each day we need to remember. To give thanks. To be grateful. To practice gratitude for the love that Jesus has for us. So I had that beautiful moment walking along that road, just overpowered with the Spirit of God as God drew me into that love. But I tell you, the practice every day has been very simple. It's been in my car. It's been when I first wake up. It's typically been sometime early in the morning that I just look for a way to say, thank you, Jesus, and smile. A simple smile. And know that I'm not alone. And now how awesome it is to know that I'm loved by God, that I'm loved by Jesus. And just say thank you. And when I say thank you, to just do that with a grateful, grateful heart. So the series that we're walking through, Soul Keeping, we're taking from a book that John Ortberg wrote. And as he takes this practice of gratitude, he divides it into three different categories. Into freedom, satisfaction, and blessing. Freedom. Are you feeling free? Right now in your heart, answer that question. Do you feel free? And if you do, why? And how? Ortberg writes in his book, there's a couple of ways to look at freedom. Freedom from and freedom for. Freedom from is that thing that, you know, we naturally all kind of like. Freedom from certain rules. Freedom from having to do certain things. Freedom from doing that thing over there that I don't like that I should, but wanting to have freedom from something. Ortberg writes in his book that real freedom, biblical freedom, the freedom that we have in Jesus is freedom for. Something very different than freedom from. Freedom from comes from our brokenness, the nasty part of us, the what I want part of us. Freedom for is a recognition of what that grace does, of what Jesus has done, that we have freedom for being who God has meant us to be. Not freedom from all the things that we want, but freedom for all that God has meant us to be. I just read an article this week about a young man named Kim Song Ryo. At the age of 19, he escaped from North Korea with his mother and with his sister. And when he escaped, he was able to get into South Korea. And South Korea has wonderful programs, unity programs, they call them. Not in a bad way, but just welcoming folks in from North Korea and helping them out. And so as he was excited for this new life and new adventure, he'd been taught his whole life that Seoul was this horrible, terrible place. And he got to this very modern city and was shocked. He'd been trained his whole life to hate Americans and even dreamed of being a soldier and coming over here and taking out all of us because he'd been trained since a little boy how awful and evil Americans were. That was his experience as a North Korean. And so he wanted freedom from that oppression. Freedom from that life. And so as he came into South Korea and he went through the Unity program and he was excited about the life that was ahead of him, he was surprised at the prejudice that he faced. For the people from South Korea would find out that he was from North Korea and immediately judge him as someone who was maybe not safe because of the indoctrination, as someone who was not as well educated, as smart us South Koreans. Tell you, one of the things that happened on the Camino that shocked the heck out of me was all the Koreans I ran into on the Camino. And most of them were young, like really young, on their own. And I had some conversations and I found out why they walked the Camino. Because it's so hard to get into the good universities that they walked the 500 miles to prove that they had endurance. And you could tell there was nothing spiritual going on with them at all. Smoking and drinking their whole way through the Camino, but they were walking that 500 miles so they could put on that university transcript. I walked 500 miles. That's what it was all about. It's intense there. It's intense, and so there was judgment from those South Koreans for Kim Song. And he was surprised by that. He wanted freedom from something. And he found that he really didn't have a full sense of freedom until something else happened in his life. Some people from YWAM, youth with a mission, reached out to him and began to talk to him about a guy named Jesus. And as he learned about Jesus, he learned that he was meant to be free for all that God meant him to be, not just free from that oppression that he had walked. Practicing gratitude means participating in recognizing that we are free for being all that God has meant us to be. Satisfaction is that next step. Are you satisfied in your life? Are you experiencing satisfaction? C.S. Lewis, who we all love, don't we? We just love C.S. Lewis. He was so ahead of his time. Just absolutely incredible. C.S. Lewis, in 1946, writes in a way about the UK that he could have written about the United States today. C.S. Lewis wrote that the visible de-Christianization of Britain was only an outward sign of something that had happened long before. Long before. He goes on, one way of putting the truth would be that religion, which has declined, was not Christianity. It was a vague theism with a strong and virile ethical code, which, far from standing over against the world, was absorbed into the whole fabric of English institutions and sentiment, and therefore demanded church-going as, at best, a part of loyalty and good manners, and at worst, just as a proof of respectability. Hence a social pressure. A social pressure like the withdrawal and compulsion did not create a new situation. The new freedom first allowed accurate observations to be made when no person goes to church except because that person seeks Jesus. Then the number of the church will actually be discovered. When people that are going to celebrate Jesus. And that's the invitation to each one of us here this day. So keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. If you love Jesus, keep coming. If you wonder about Jesus, keep coming. If you question Jesus, keep coming. Keep coming. Because the full satisfaction can only be found in Jesus. I've had spiritual directors since my days in Florida when I was Fellowship and Evangelism Associate there at the church in Florida. Spiritual director is somebody who walks along with your soul, who listens to your soul and what your soul is crying out for and how your soul is crying out, and directs you to ways where you can learn to listen more fully to Jesus. My spiritual director is going to be here in a week and a half. Wednesday, the 25th, Bill Haley will be here and do 2 hours about what spiritual formation of the soul is all about. Anybody's invited to come to that and hear him. How do you find satisfaction so that you can live in gratitude is by knowing and understanding your soul. Freedom, satisfaction, and blessing. You know, a lot of you have given me really good ideas how I can fix my body and make it right, and I appreciate that. I do. I really do appreciate that. Because I know you share out of concern. But if anybody else mentions acupuncture, just go away. Ask Patty. I cannot look at a needle without screaming inappropriately. So, I've heard that you can barely hear feeling. But anyway, so I get some vitamin supplements, and I was shocked. I got it this week. Remember that. I got this week, and this little pamphlet says, thankfulness is the beginning of happiness. And I went, okay. And I opened it up, and it says, people think gratitude. And I was like, what? I'm preaching on gratitude. What is this? People think gratitude follows happiness. But actually, it's the opposite. Being thankful, being filled with gratitude, makes you happy. And here are 3 ways to get more grateful. So this comes from my vitamin company. Keep a gratitude journal. Keep a gratitude journal every day. Write down 3 things you're grateful for. Where you saw Jesus. They didn't write that. I throw that part in. Write a thank you note. Now, I don't know if you know what these are, but there are these card things that people can get. And if you use a writing instrument yourself, not a computer, and you can write words on it. Have you heard of that? Write a thank you card once a month. Send a handwritten card to someone who has not been properly thanked for their kindness. Show how grateful you are for them. Or fill a gratitude jar is their 3rd suggestion. Just every time that you are thankful, grateful for something, write it on a little note, put it in a jar, and see what happens to that jar as it fills up. Jesus, God, the Son of God, wants you to be grateful. Grateful for the gift that you have been given of salvation and love and mercy. And Jesus wants you in your soul to be empowered to share that gift of gratitude with others. So, I don't know how to do this, because if I say turn to your left, everybody's looking one direction. So turn to somebody you're sitting next to. Look them in the eye. And say, bless you. Now turn the other direction so another person sees. And say, bless you. So I'll share the last story that I shared in class as I was working through this chapter. You know, as a young pastor doing the blessing at the end of the service, it was a little bit of a strange and an interesting thing to do as a young person. I didn't realize the power of what that meant. It probably took me until close to my 40s. Where I was visiting with people in the hospital or in homes, and would actually put my hand upon somebody's forehead and give them a blessing, and realized what a gift that was that I was able to share. When I was a part of the prayer community that Bill Haley was a part of my first 3 years here, and how he became my spiritual director through that, they had a time, because it was pastors and leaders of Christian organizations that were part of this prayer community, where they had a time where they placed their hands upon each one of us and gave us a blessing. And how beautiful that is, to receive that blessing. That blessing from God and that blessing from another. So be people who practice gratitude. And put your hands upon each other in various moments. And say thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you share. And walk as that grateful person. Amen. Amen.